Introduction. In 1821, 3 years after William Miller had arrived at his exposition of the prophecies pointing to the time of the judgment, Dr. Joseph Wolfe, the missionary to the world, began to proclaim the Lord's soon coming. Great Controversy, 357. The son of a German rabbi, Joseph became a Christian, joining the Roman Catholic Church. However, his independent spirit soon forced him to leave Catholicism after he had studied in Rome, and he became a Protestant. Feeling called to preach about the Messiah he had come to know and love, he began to travel as a missionary throughout the Middle East, India, and later North America. His adventures and narrow escapes rivaled those of the most imaginative fiction. He presented the gospel before mighty rulers and lowly desert tribesmen. Joseph Wolfe was in the vanguard of those God raised up to spread the Advent movement. The Story of Joseph Wolfe. Chapter 1. Kleiner Wolf. Kleiner Wolf means little wolf. Little Wolf sat on the edge of his seat in the corner as he listened wide-eyed to the discussions. Every evening the Jewish elders gathered in his home to study the prophecies. They asked many difficult questions, but always his father could give them a suitable answer. The boy was sure that his father was the wisest man in their town of Haley. No, in all Germany. In fact, he thought that Rabbi David Wolf was probably the wisest man in the whole world. That evening the boy heard that someday soon the Messiah would come, and then the Jews would rule the world. Proud to be a Jew, he felt like shouting the news for everyone to hear. His eyes grew bigger and brighter. But just as the conversation reached the most exciting moment, his mother entered and spotted him in his corner. "Tutch, tutch, Kleiner Wolf, you must go to bed," she said to him. "Your brother, Jacob, he's already in bed. You had better go to bed as well." No boy wants to be told he has to go to bed, especially in the midst of a thrilling story. But he obediently went to bed to dream that the Messiah had come, and that he, Kleiner Wolf, was an important Jew in the town, respected by Jews and Gentiles alike. The next day his mother called, "Kleiner Wolf, you must fetch the milk." She handed him the little pail, with its tight-fitting lid, as well as the necessary money, and he hurried down the street. Suddenly he noticed three boys waiting on the corner. Tall and muscular, they were several years ahead of him in school. Now Wolf was always ready to fight, for he had well-developed muscles himself and didn't mind using them, but not when it was three against one. He thought he'd run down an alley, but they had seen him and immediately began to chant, "Hey, hey, hey, Kleiner Wolf is a mean, ugly Jew. Let's make him eat his dirty old shoe." Feeling his blood boil, he grew red right to his ears. How dare they make fun of him like that? Although he wanted to rush at them and hammer them with his pail, he knew he was no match for them, so he tried to pretend he hadn't heard them. The boy hurried on to Herr, Mr. Spice, the barber surgeon who also sold milk, and after greeting him politely, handed him the pail as he said, "Herr Spice, my mother, she wants some milk." The man poured the milk into the can while Wolf counted out the money. Spice wasn't only the barber and the milkman. He was also the lad's friend, so he noticed that the boy seemed greatly upset. "Kleiner Wolf, why do you have such fire in your eyes?" "Oh," the boy replied, "because the Messiah is coming, and when the Messiah comes, He will get hold of Leviathan. He's a dreadful monster that eats 10 million fish in one day, you know. He paused for breath. Since he hadn't noticed the twinkle in his friend's eye, he continued, "And guess what? Messiah is going to kill him and give him to the Jews, and then the Jews will eat him, and they will be so strong that they will rule the world, and I'm going to eat a big piece of Leviathan, and the bullies will all be afraid of me, and they won't dare tease me ever again." Spice smiled kindly, sure that the lad had misunderstood his elders and that his imagination had run away with him. "Kleiner Wolf," he told him, "go back home and read Isaiah 53. His curiosity aroused, the boy hurried home, carrying his pail of milk carefully as he looked this way and that to see where the bullies were. But the bigger boys had grown tired of standing on the street corner without anybody to taunt. As soon as the boy had delivered the milk to his mother, he hurried to his father. "Waiter, please, I want the big Bible, for I must read." His father gave him the Hebrew Bible. Opening it, he leafed through it until he found Isaiah 53. Even after reading and rereading the words, he could not understand what it meant. So finally he went to his father. "Waiter, what means the prophet here? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Rabbi Wolf glanced at the passage, then shook his head, but instead of replying to the question, said, "I think you'd better go to the kitchen, for your mother may be needing you." The boy felt sure that his father was using his mother as an excuse not to answer his question. "I must find out about this, for I'm sure it's important," he said to himself. "I wonder whether Herr Spice knows what this means. But I don't like to ask him, for, after all, the verse is in the Hebrew Bible, so a Hebrew should be able to understand it. I'll have to think about this," he told himself. However, the longer he pondered the passage, the more confused he became. The next day, when he went for the milk, he had decided to pocket his pride and ask his friend what the scripture said. But while he was still trying to word the question diplomatically, Spice asked him several others instead. "Kleiner Wolf, why is it that the Jews do not live in Palestine any more? Why are they scattered all over the world? And tell me something else. Why did the Jews kill Jesus?" The boy had never thought of such things before. Shaking his head, he admitted he didn't know the answers. "But my Vater knows everything," he affirmed stoutly. As soon as he delivered the milk to his mother, he hurried to his father. "Why is it that the Jews are scattered everywhere in the world?" he asked anxiously. A shadow crossed the man's face. "My boy, that's because our people killed the prophets." "Oh," exclaimed the child, "is that the reason? Now, Vater, tell me, who is this man Jesus that the Gentiles all talk about?" "Well," his father explained, "Jesus was a very good prophet, but the people killed him." "Why did they kill him if he was a good prophet?" "You see, he claimed that he was the Son of God, and that was blasphemy." "Hmm," the boy said in response, but he walked away in deep thought. "Vater says the Jews are scattered because they killed the prophets. They killed Jesus, and Vater, who is a very wise rabbi, says Jesus was a good prophet. I wonder whether the Jews are wrong and the Christians are right. I must think about that." He mused as he continued to ponder the questions Mr. Spies kept asking. The boy's questions and his preoccupation with religious matters began to worry the rabbi. He felt it was time he did something drastic lest his son lose his faith in the Jewish religion. Frau, wife, I believe we must send our son away from the influences here. Let's send him to visit Onkel Asher. There he will surely forget all these questions about that man. Rabbi Wolf hesitated to use the name. Besides, I'll tell you something else. The uncle has plenty of money, but he doesn't have any children. So maybe if we send our boys to him, he will get the idea that he should make his will in their favor. Then when he dies, all his money will come to Kleiner Wolf and Jacob, and we'll all be rich. But Rabbi, she called him by his title out of respect, our Kleiner Wolf is only 10 years old, and Jacob but 9. They are so young to leave the nest. They are very mature for their age, particularly Wolf. What other boy his age would be pondering such questions about the Messiah? It is for the best, he sighed, and that settled the matter. Not long afterward, he put his sons on the coach to Wellersbach. As the coachman cracked his whip, their father pressed several coins into the boys' hands. Spend your money wisely and be good boys. Study well in the school, and one of these days you can come back home to us. Be sure to make the uncle and the tante happy with you. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.